Blog Talk Radio.
Comics, Blog Talk Radio, The Revolutionary Nerd, Volume 2. Tonight we will have a special guest in here, Mr. Abdullah Haq of Crescent Comics will be here talking about his comics, Jihad, Mustafa Khan, and his works that he's done with the techno music industry with cats like Juan Atkins, Derek May, several artists out there that he's worked with. The guy, this brother, is well known. But in the meantime, before we get him on, I am your host, Andre Batts, as well as Miss Cynthia McDonald.
Hey,
our
hey.
Other host. She cannot be with us right now, but she will be with us either later this evening or the next time around. Hi, how are you doing, Cynthia?
I'm good. How are you, Andre?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm really excited about tonight's show.
Me too.
And I'm looking forward to hearing what this brother has to say about the comic industry and what he's put into it and things of that nature. But in the meantime, before we even get there, man, this is such an exciting weekend. It's getting ready to come up with Star Wars coming out. It came out today,
I
right?
I know.
Right.
My nerd sense is tingling every time I hear the word mutter Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. You know, so many people are so excited about it. And, you know, I hope that it's, you know, as good as, you know, it can be, you know, with, I think, isn't it J.J. Abrams at the helm as far as directing it?
Yes. I believe his company is part of it, Bad Robot.
Right, yes, Bad Robot. That's it, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know George Lucas, of course, he still has his input there, which is great still, you know, but I think now that he's got another director involved with it, it ought to be a plus, you know, difference.
Yeah.
It won't be as, you know, too kiddies for us. You know, J.J. Abrams, he seems to take it elsewhere some. He did an excellent job with Star Trek, I think.
Yes, he did. And I was really even happy because it seems like he's still directing the reboot series as well, because Bad Robot is part of the Star Trek 3 that's coming out next summer, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I had seen the preview of it. As a matter of fact, someone had it posted on Facebook, and I checked out the trailer. It looks pretty good. And I've always been a Star Trek fan.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It was kind of funny. I was liking it to just one big sci-fi Fast and Furious, because it seems like it was just like fighting and action and shooting. It's like, okay, I hope it's more to the movie than just that, but it that looks pretty good too. But
well, I hope so as well.
Yeah,
it's an exciting year for movies anyway when we really think about it.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what The Force Awakens is going to come up with, even like with, you know, some strong African American lead characters as well, I believe.
I've been hearing some negative things about that as well. You know, I think we're excited about it, but I don't think everyone
mm-hmm.
is as excited as we are.
Oh, you know. That's unfortunate.
Yes, it is. You know, it's really sad. I'm just glad, you know, George Lucas, J.J. Abrams were willing to make that giant leap, you know, to
mm-hmm.
make an African-American as their leading character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like what they did with Mace Windu when they did the Star Wars, the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to have a problem with that.
That is unfortunate. I think that Sam Jackson did a bang-up job of Mace Windu when he, even though, like, the first three Star Wars weren't that well-received, but, you know, I really liked his character. I liked the fact that, you know, his character seemed more leaning on logic and wisdom, which it seemed to me like a break away from, you know, some of the normal stuff that he does. So I was happy to see him in a different light in that particular aspect. And, of course, anytime that you see, like, you know, a black person play a Jedi, I mean, you know, how cool is that?
Yeah, right, that's extra cool. You know, our other host is on the line as well, Miss Kelly. She just came in on the line. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. It's going to be fun tonight. I hope that our guest is ready for this. You know, there's a lot going on here. I hope he's ready for this. Hey, Kelly, are you excited about Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure. Especially with all this controversy that's around Star Wars. People are saying that they want to boycott the movie, and then you got people committing suicide all because you have a black character.
Are you serious?
Oh, wow. I didn't hear about the suicide.
Oh, yeah.
I thought all that was just a joke, but, well, I took it as a joke. Can you believe that them actually boycotting Star Wars? I can't even see it even being successful. That's a joke, brother.
It is a joke. How are you going to boycott it? And it's such a huge franchise. people all over the world love the film.
Right. I'm just so glad that they're. I'm really glad that they're doing the story after, you know, Luke Skywalker, in a sense of after, you know, he did what he did to his father, Darth Vader. You know, I'm more than happy to see this version of Star Wars, because those prequels, to me, they were pretty weak. You know, I didn't really like what they did with the father, you know, Darth, when he was supposed to become Darth Vader. They, you know, I felt that it was a lot missing there myself. But, you know, that's why I'm really
a whiny teenager than actually someone who came into being who Darth Vader really was.
Right, and that's why I hope that this one here does the do. It has to do the job, because I'm looking forward to it. So are you planning on seeing it tomorrow night or something? You know, tomorrow's the opening night.
Like at midnight?
Yeah, midnight.
Oh, goodness. Well, knowing me, I probably won't get up in the morning on that Friday to go to work, so I think I'm just going to catch you on the 18th.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I have me and my nephew, we usually go see a lot of the Marvel movies, you know, at midnight, you know, before that actual Friday when it comes out. And it's always, you know, a good time, you know, with me and my nephews and just the crowd in general. You know, it's really an exciting thing. But like you say, when you have to get up and go to work the next day, would you be willing to get up and go to work? Because you know, had such a good time the night before seeing whatever Marvel movie that you wanted to see.
Oh, most definitely. And see, I already know that, you know, I'm going to be, like, way excited to even go to sleep. And, you know, just, like, Star Wars itself just invokes such nostalgia for me. Because
right.
I even remember, like, going to see the Star Wars movies when they first came out with my dad years and years and years ago.
Wow.
The only one that I, of course, did not totally remember going to see, but he did take me when I was a baby, was the actual Star Wars movie. But Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, I was there right with him. And I
remember
that
all
very
vividly. Sound like you were awfully young. You remember all of that?
Anything that like caught my attention in my eye like that, you know, is something I can't forget. Like, you know, it's just something that, especially like movies like that in the time period like that, and like the effects that they used, that's something that really wasn't used like that before. I mean, that what they were doing was like cutting edge, and it was just so vivid visually. And, you know, you can't not, like, forget that. And I mean, just being with my dad, you know, being able to go see Star Wars, you know, in that particular vein was always, you know, a treat. And I remember, you know, telling him when Return of Jedi came out, like, we're going to go see this, right? When this comes out, we're going to go see this. And he's like, yes, Wendy, we're going to go see it. So, you know, kudos to you, Dad, for taking me into that particular vein and feeding my nerd habits. It's you and my mother's fault. But
that's like you said. Now, let me ask everyone here, which one would you say was your favorite Star Wars movie out of all six of them that's been out so far? I know mine was The Empire Strikes Back.
That's my second favorite. I would say Return of the Jedi.
How about
now,
you,
with me, I don't really remember the Star Wars pictures that I seen, but the one that Samuel L. Jackson was in, that was one of my favorites.
Which one? The first one?
The one that Samuel L. Jackson was in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right, Kelly. I forget you're a youngin. You really are. You've seen the prequels.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to actually get the ones prior to the prequel.
Okay.
Those were excellent. You know, like I said, my favorite was Empire Strikes Back. You know, for some reason, I just was always fascinated with the character Darth Vader. You know, I've always thought he was a good character.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to cut this short because I see that our guest has just called in, and I'm going to get ready to log him in, and we're going to have a conversation with Abdullah Hawk. Caller, are you in line?
Hello, can you hear me?
Greetings, greetings. How are you, Brother Hawk? Abdullah Hawk,
hey,
how are you doing?
Brother Andre.
All right, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It's an honor to be on here with you and your co-host.
Wonderful, wonderful. Man, you just have so much to tell us about what you're doing, and we're going to get into all that because I want to get into the animation project as well that you're working on, that you're trying to get funding about. Before we get off this phone tonight, I would like for you to share that with everyone. In the meantime,
okay,
you know,
for sure.
You know, in the meantime, you know, we want you to tell us how you got into doing comics besides, you know, when you and I first started working with the Dreadlocks and Jihad and all that together back in the early 90s.
That was about 20 years ago when you and I started together with the Urban Style, and I introduced Jihad back then. But like a couple years ago, I got re-inspired to reintroduce Jihad and some of my other characters that I had always been thinking about when I had seen, you know, such negative portrayals of Muslims in the media and also the weak portrayals of the superheroes that they came up with from Marvel and DC.
Okay, okay. Because I remember you.
In particular, the Miss Marvel and the Muslim Green Lantern from Dearborn. I bought both of those issues, and they was pretty whack as far as I was concerned. And I just thought to myself, I could do better than this. And shoot, I wound up coming up with Crescent Comics and, you know, putting out a few issues myself.
Okay, okay. Now, I'm sure Kelly and Cynthia is going to have a lot to ask me, so I'm going to let them take over the interview process at this moment. And Cynthia, you can go ahead.
Okay. Greetings, Brother Hawk. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Okay, so what really interested you in getting into comics and the whole comic industry?
Well, I had been a comic fan from when I was just in grade school and always continued it pretty much. Came up with a Muslim character in the mid-90s with Andre when he started Urban Style. And, you know, we had a few issues we had did together, but then I went off and started doing more record covers and things with the electronic music industry and Detroit techno in particular. And then, you know, like I mentioned just recently, I just got re-inspired to start again, seeing how the Muslims was portrayed and the negative. Media and also you know, how they were portrayed in the comic books. And you know, I just had a ton of ideas, just was exploding with ideas, too many to even put out all my characters at once, and just wanted to go for it. And it's been a couple years, and I've come up with over a dozen characters, and you know, they're all pretty solid. And, you know, we just ready to take it to the next level.
Nice. So I noticed when I was looking at your bio that you mentioned that you were heavily influenced by, like, Star Trek, Star Wars, and Japanese animation. Can you tell us, like, specifically how that particular genre, like science fiction and manga, really, like, grabbed your attention and influenced your work?
Yes, when I was growing up in the 70s in Detroit, watching a lot of TV at the time because I was a sickly young boy, so I stayed inside a lot and had to watch TV, and that's where I got inspiration to draw and create stories. Star Trek used to come on every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, on Channel 50, as I recall. And, you know, I was really influenced by, you know, the themes of Star Trek, you know, Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, all that. It was wonderful watching that. And then in 77, when Star Wars came out, that just blew my mind. I mean, you know, I was just 9 years old, and it just was a wonderful. My mom took me to the show, where was that? Out in Southfield, the show that used to be off Greenfield. And, you know, we had a it was an amazing time. I just was amazed. It blew my mind. And, you know, it influenced me for years to come. And also growing up, I used to watch the Speed Racer. It was one of the earliest shows I can remember watching.
Love that show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it seemed so different from the American shows. So that's what really drew me to Japanese animation. And later on in the 70s, Battle of the Planets came out, and that was just awesome. I still remember that cartoon, even though they edited heavily, I found out later, it still was just so many levels beyond the American cartoons to me, what they were showing at the time. Like Super Friends, for example, I mean, it was like five times better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So that's really influenced me. And then, you know, they would show Godzilla movies all the time in the 70s. And
I remember those days.
Mm-hmm. You remember that?
You know, I remember. That's all I used
to do. Yeah, so, you know, all that stuff influenced me. And, you know, I still remember to this day watching in awe all those different shows.
Johnny Robot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Johnny
Sacco and the Giant Robot and Ultraman. Yeah, we had a lot of excellent shows. I mean,
let's see where it's now. You know, you don't
see his zipper, but that's okay.
Yeah, they just got garbage now. I'm sorry to say it. Sometimes my kids' shows, they just don't got the good shows that we had.
That's right.
They had a lot of story put into the shows back then, and they were well worth it. Coming, running home from school to make sure you catch all those shows.
Yeah.
On Saturday afternoon, you know, used to watch all of them.
Yeah, and you know, and Channel 20, Channel 50 used to keep us there during the weekdays.
Yeah, now for you all that don't know, Channel 20 and Channel 50 are Detroit stations.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of figured that.
There you go. But, yeah, those were the good old days. Now I want to know, what is it that the kids run home to watch now?
They watch Netflix.
Oh, man, well, you know, my kids don't watch too much TV. My daughter still watches the Disney Channel and the Nickelodeon. But, you know, that's just some, I really don't know. And my son, he really don't watch too much of the, he watched Japanese cartoons on the weekends sometimes, but not too much. You know, when he was younger, he used to watch Ben 10 and stuff like that, but they took good shows like that off.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, that was a quality show, but, you know, now they got all these weird-looking shows, so he don't watch none of them. I'm glad.
Right. That is true. That is true. So Kelly.
I'm Sam. Go ahead.
So Kelly, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, this is a pretty good conversation here we got going on.
Yes, it is. One thing that I wanted to say is that how did Star Wars influence your storyline and art style? And what
about? Young boy growing up, the whole series captured, you know, the imagination of a young boy growing up. You know, it's just an amazing story, an epic kind of story. I compare on the level of like a Ulysses, the Odyssey, or you know, some deep mythological kind of epic kind of storylines with this whole Star Wars epic. So, you know, it just was pretty deep and you know, hit up on all the major archetypes, if you will, of good guys and bad guys with Darth Vader and his son and, you know, Obi-Wan as the teacher and Yoda as the teacher. And, you know, it just was real deep. I just you know, still learning from the original three, not the prequels.
Right.
Yeah, the original three. I mean, because Lucas, right. He took from a lot of mythological things from that, and a lot of, you know, Japanese stuff, you know, which I've been to Japan a few times, and to see the different ties that went into it and that he took out of it to create it, and, you know, yeah, it definitely influenced, you know, my science fiction and fantasy art.
Okay. I know in the 1980s that you was a part of the techno music community. How did you get involved with that?
Oh, I was just a young art student at the time, and we had some friends dancing for Kevin Saunderson, I believe, and everybody was located on this one area in the Eastern Market on this one block they called Techno Boulevard. And, you know, the dancers told Derek May that they knew some people at the art college that did really weird, trippy, spacey sort of art. So we went down to his office and showed him our art, and this was in 1989, so the late 80s, and he really loved it, and, you know, was doing stuff for him ever since, that's 26 years ago now.
Okay. I have some more questions that's related to Islam and Muslims.
All right.
The first one is they say that we have freedom of religion according to the Constitution, but it seems like it is really under fire because of terrorist groups like ISIS. So how would your superheroes counter the hate speech that deals with Muslims and the Islamic faith, and who inspired you to follow the Islamic faith?
I do have several characters based on what's going on today's headlines as far as with terrorism and the New World Order and things like that. Trying to come up with the next issue now. My next issue is going to be called The Crescent Commandos, and that's going to deal specifically with, you know, the mass shootings going on, the terror attacks. For example, what happened in San Bernardino and in Paris just recently. So we do have plans to introduce some storylines based on the recent headlines, all the terrorism going on with ISIS and Boko Haram and all those certain terror groups. And, so we will be posting some new characters. We already posted our album for the Crescent Commandos that you could check out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Crescent Comics, yes. So you could check out our storylines. We're developing a storyline, and it's going to be pretty deep. As far as how I got into Islam, when I was in college, I used to study all the different main religions, and that's the one I finally settled upon. It made the most sense to me because it integrated everything that I had learned to that point in my life at that time.
Okay. So would you say that you was influenced by Nobuju Ali, or was it Fra Muhammad?
No, you're referring to like the Nation of Islam and the Moorish Science Temple, I believe. But no, it was more straightforward, more the direct Islam from the Prophet and from the Quran, just based off of that, studying that, and the different books based off of that. But I was aware of the Noble Drew Ali and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but went more so directly to the source.
Okay. And what do you think when people say that the basis of all three Abrahamic religions actually was established and came out of the ancient Kemetic religion?
Well, I found, based on my research, that there is some truth to that. But I think all the world's religions are related to one another, and they're all based on, the same truths. So, yes, there is some truth to that, I do believe, based on what I've studied.
Okay.
I agree with that, Abdul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. And, all the world's religions, as far as is what I've read, is you can find, you can start connecting the dots and putting two to two together, and you can see that, we're all related somehow. We're all connected.
I agree with that, too. I definitely agree with that. It seems like that a lot of the major religions that are in the world have like some type of connectivity to one another. I even think about looking at this, for example, Hinduism and Christianity. Christianity would lean towards the Godhead being three, the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And the main Godhead, I would say, that's in Hinduism, this is from what I studied, is Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, his son, and then Shiva, the destroyer. And Shiva was considered a god of fire, or he wielded fire, kind of like how the Holy Spirit would be for Christianity. So there's always a connective thread, I would say, with any of the world's major religions that masses people actually study. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Oh, man, this is a deep conversation here. because a lot of say religion or spirituality, like in my case, a lot of spirituality ties into what I write in the sense of dreadlocks. That's why I'm agreeing with what Abdul is saying and what you're saying as well, Cynthia. It allows that creativity to come from within you, and you just spread it out at that point. It's like you spread your wings and fly, like they say, once you get this in you, and it's a wrap. Most of the stories that are out now that came out, let's just say, back in the 60s and 70s with comic book characters, they had a lot of our, symbolism and messages and things of that nature within those creations. Whereas now, I kind of said this in the last interview that I had when we first introduced the show, that we kind of reintroducing ourselves the way we should be portrayed, as opposed to the way they've been portraying us through them for all these years. That's why I agree with what you were saying as well, Abdul, earlier when you were saying about the Muslim characters that was created, such as Ms. Marvel. And I wasn't even reading Marvel Comics at this point when they created the Muslim character. But just what you have told me in the past as it relates to that, they couldn't do anything but garbage with it, because, once again, the mainstreamers and what they do with us and our characters and characters that truly represent who we are, they don't put anything into these characters.
That's right.
To fill them with any form of substance. Whereas us as creators, when we create, we're putting our substance, things that we believe in, things that we know, we're putting all that into our creations to make it worth a read. Because a lot of people that even come to that came to the Motor City Black Age of Comics that were buying your book, they're really excited about it. You know what I mean? Which is a good thing. You know, they were excited about the animation trailer that you showed, which is a good thing because the trailer that you showed is more on the Japanese type level. You know, and from what I understand, you got some cats from over there that's going to be working on that for you. But what I want you to do right now, could you kind of talk about the animation project and how it's going for you, and what's your process like with that? Because I had did the animation movie myself, and through Indiegogo I had funded it. But it's nothing like what yours is going to be.
Yes, well, yeah. Well, I've been blessed to have been able to meet some of the best animators in Japanese animation in my travels to Japan. In particular, Shinichiro Watanabe and Dai Sato, who have created Cowboy Bebop and Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, as well as Samurai Champloo, and some other things that featured on Cartoon Network on Saturday nights. So I approached them with my ideas for Crescent Comics and my characters and told them, you know, I had just a small budget and wanted to do like a 30-second commercial. So, you know, we've been friends for many years. We've collaborated on several projects together. They, you know, they took my ideas and they made them come to life, and it turned out very well.
Yes, and I agree. From what I've seen, Cynthia, you've seen his trailer. You know, Kelly's seen his trailer.
I did. It's phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I think I was staring at it for more than I ought to, because when people were actually kind of trying to come up to me and asking me about the book that I was coming out with, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm too busy looking at his trailer.
Man, I'm hoping that it actually, you know, that it gets funded for you, because you have how many days to go on Indiegogo? As a matter of fact, share with us the site for the campaign that you're running.
Okay, it's I'm on Indiegogo right now. It's called the Crescent Comics Fundraiser. And right now, fortunately, it hasn't gone too well. I haven't gotten the funding that been looking for. It's still about less than a week left, maybe 5 days left. And, you know, I got about 3% funding at the moment. But, you know, there's still some time left, of course, to, join the fundraiser and donate, if possible.
Right, because I'm donating myself this Friday.
Thanks, Andre, and I do appreciate that. I've been trying to get the word out. It just seems that people, you know, like in the Muslim community aren't particularly interested, or I'm just not good at marketing or publicity or something, but, you know, just sort of difficult at the moment.
Yeah, I kind of ran into that when I did my campaign 2.5 years ago when I did the Dreadlock animated movie. You know, it was hard to get the funds for some reason, and I was advertising it left and right. You know,
yeah.
I was pumping it up like every week or every 3 days. It was something new that I was plugging. And the thing of the matter, it was mostly my family and a few and yourself or whatever. You know, me and you've been knowing each other forever, so you know, so
yeah,
I consider you like fam, basically. So with that being said, that's how the project was funded for the most part, because the people that are in the industry with us, they like the idea of what we're doing as far as animation, but are they willing to support it based on that? Are they willing to not support it based on the fact that they don't want to see you go to that next level that they're obviously not going to make it to. You know what I mean? Because I kind of picked up on that a little bit, because I thought that with all the artists that I knew and all the creators that I knew and all the people that was so, you know, engulfed or so in love with urban style comics and dreadlocks, I just knew for a fact that the Indiegogo campaign would have produced more funds than what it did.
And it didn't. Yeah, that's the way I feel. It hasn't come to fruition so far. But, you know, there's still some time left. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, hopefully tonight will help. And, you know, some people will get the word out, and we'll see.
Right.
I just shared it on my page, and I'm about to donate right now. So.
Oh, wow. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Oh. Sure, no problem. We just gotta, you know, keep on getting the word out that this project is out and it needs to be funded, and you know, and hopefully our people can, you know, really get into the spirit of it and, you know, really give money. Come on, people, let's get money.
Right, right. Yeah. No, Abdul, you did say something that I wanted to kind of piggyback on a little bit. Now, how do the Muslims actually feel about comic books per se? Because I know I met a brother from where was he from? I think he was from was he from Libya? He was somewhere from the so-called Middle East, and he was into collecting comic books per se. And when we did our first book, you know, you and I and Khalil with the Jihad Dreadlocks and Emoji project that we did. When he bought the books, because he bought like 50 of them, he said that the only reason why he bought the book, and he said he bought it because the character Jihad or whatever, and his brother's name is Jihad. And he was really kind of saying that they weren't really into comic books per se, and I'm assuming it was because of the imagery or they may feel there's some type of idol worshiping going on. I don't know, but this is the vibe I had got from the guy.
I know a lot of Muslims into comic books and, you know, into the superheroes, and, you know, they got a big following in the Muslim community as far as I can see. You know, when I go take my kids to school, I see a bunch of superhero clothes and superhero backpacks and sort of things, and comic books.
Well, this is great then that you're actually putting out Mustafa Khan and Jihad and the Crescent Crusaders, because this is what we need.
Crescent Commandos.
I'm sorry, my bad. Crescent Commandos. You know, that's something new on your list right there. That's why. That kind of came off my tongue the wrong way. But the Crescent Commandos, that's something that's actually needed, because we actually need characters that represent, you know, the world, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Not just, you know, the people that, quote-unquote, came up with the thought of comic books. But we do need that, and I really commend you for putting in your work and adding your beliefs into your work, because that's really a very powerful thing that you're doing. And
I decided to try to create a universe more than just one character or just a couple characters. Make a spectrum and feature people from all over the world.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, Cynthia, you know, she does, you know, comics. She writes science fiction, and Kelly writes science fiction as well. Me and Kelly are supposed to be working on something together.
I'd love to see, you know, read some of their stories.
Oh, yeah, Kelly. I read one of Kelly's stories. It's real good.
Thank you.
We will talk.
that sounds good.
So that's a good thing.
I had a question for you, Brother Hawk, about one of the characters that really stuck out to me, because I'm always about a strong female lead character.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that you had a hero, and just tell me if I'm saying her name right. Is it Ishika Khan?
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, Ishika. Ishika is from India. No, she's the... Ishika, okay. Yes, she's from India. I'm sorry, you know, I got so many characters in my head. Ishika Khan's from India, and she manipulates the elements and the weather.
Ooh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, she's a real cool character. You know, one of the wives of Mustafa Khan. And, you know, she has a major role in this latest issue of ours. And we really did a nice pinup of her recently with one of my best artists. And maybe you've seen that on our Crescent Comic fan page. But, yeah, she likes to manipulate whirlwinds and tornadoes and cyclones in particular. And but, you know, she can control all forms of... you know, weather. I was trying to say meteorology, but yeah, weather and the different elements. So, yeah, I'm glad you like that one.
Nice, very nice.
Oh, thank you.
That's good. It looks like we have. Let me see, about 13 minutes left. Man, time just fly when you're having fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is nice.
I agree with that. Once you get into the flow, it's like practically over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to see you out there doing your thing, Abdul. You know, keep up the good work. I know there are other brothers out there that are doing their thing and making it happen and doing them big as well, you know. And what I'm going to do right now is our next show, I can go ahead and announce this, will be January the 6th, and we will have Brother John Jennings on the air with us. And some of you may have heard of Black Comics and may have heard of The Hole, and he also puts on a show, Black Comic Book Art Festival. It's like two in one. He does one in New York and San Francisco the same weekend, January the 16th. This is one of the hardest working individuals I know in this industry, and got a very positive, you know, attitude. Very good person. But that'll be our next interview, our second show actually, January the 6th.
That sounds good.
You know, last week we did a little testing with the Abdul. Believe it or not, you're actually our first guest.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah, outside of us talking to one another last week, you're actually our first guest.
Yeah, well, this is nice. Yeah, I'm real honored.
Well, yeah, we're honored to have you on here as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, you got a good show. I hope it, you know, does well and lasts a long time.
That's the game plan. Now, what I want you to do, Abdul, if you can, would you share with everybody how they can go about, you know, picking up your books and share with everybody your any form of connection that you have with the internet, as far as a website, Facebook.
Oh page. Yeah, I'm all over the internet. And everything, we have CrescentComics.com, which is our website. Unfortunately, I don't update it too often. I'm not much of a webmaster. Facebook.com/CrescentComics. That's the most updated thing because it's real easy for me to access Facebook. And also, you can email me at HAQQ@CrescentComics.com.
Okay.
And the Indiegogo fundraiser is Indiegogo.com under Crescent Comics Fundraiser.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, Abdul, let me ask you, what do you think about the new Star Wars movie that's getting ready to come out? We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, I heard y'all talking about it. Well, I'm hoping it's good. It's been a lot of hype, you know, and when it's so much hype and everything, I hope it just can live up to so much hype. And, you know, I, for one, I know I'm in the minority, did not like the new Star Trek movies. So J.J. Abrams, he does some big shoes to fill. I hope he can do it. I hope he does make an improvement from the Star Trek movies.
Okay, I'm so glad that you said that you are in the minority of that, because in this conversation here, you do represent the minority, because I like Star Trek myself.
Yeah, I know. I heard you, man. I heard you. So, you know, I can't even say too much, but, I'm one of the few that just, you know, couldn't get into it, man. So I'm hoping he'll do the Star Wars justice.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
you're not the first person
I heard say that either. I think that the issue is that the new Star Trek movies that came out are such a break. It's like a whole different revamp of that universe. So when you get people that watch Star Trek from the 1967 show on, they're like purists, and
yes,
you know,
that's me.
Right, and you're like, Star Trek should go like this. What is this?
If you look at it like that, you're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know I watch, you know, every single Star Trek that there was, and I used to get off work. It used to come on like at 11 or 12 at night. I used to watch that before I went to sleep every night. Religiously,
yeah.
I had to watch Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I'm hoping that it's a success. Like Kelly and Cynthia were saying, we have a black leading character in this series or whatever. So hopefully, you know, it turns out the way it looks. It's looking
good.
Yeah,
I'm hoping so too. You know, I'm sort of a harsh critic, but you know, we'll see. I think I'm avoid the first wave this weekend and go see it next week, like Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, because it's going to be around for a while. I still have to go see Creed myself. I haven't even seen Creed yet.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I'll
see that. You know, Rocky.
I need to talk to you about that off air, about that, Andre.
Yeah, we could do that. All right. All right, Kelly, you have anything to say, Cynthia, before we get ready to part ways with Brother Hawk?
So, I'm sorry, did I steal your thunder, Kelly? I didn't mean to just jump in.
Are you there, Kelly? Hello?
Hello?
We didn't get disconnected, did we?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
My phone on mute. I was about to ask him about what did he think about Kylo Ren, the new bad guy who's trying to revive Darth Vader's.
Yeah, I think he might be pretty cool. I'm a wait to see him in the movie. So far, I mean, he looks, you know, pretty menacing and evil. You know, his lightsaber. Everybody likes the lightsaber. I like to see it in action first.
I can believe that.
Yeah. No, I'm real practical because, you know, I use swords sometimes, and I like to see how they work it into the story and all that. I just, you know, yeah.
Cool. Well, everyone, it was a pleasure having this interview. Tonight.
Yeah,
Abdul,
thank you very much. I had a good time.
I'm glad you were able to make it out today. I'm glad, you know, Cynthia, Kelly, I'm glad you were all able to make it out. But we're going to get ready to close this out. Abdul, you may want to listen to this because this is a classic. We're getting ready to play it and go off air. And once again, see you guys again January 6th. But we'll play a couple of reruns the next 2 weeks. That'll be the first show and this show as well. All right, everyone, have a nice night. Thank you.
You too. Thanks.